Shiki Shane's friends were that with Farewell to a Hypocrisis. And now let's play a record from former Yugoslavia by Grupa 220. It's from their album Slike. Let's play a track called Čovjek Bubanj. We'll be right back. Grupa 220 on the obscure Suzy label from 1975. That was from the album Slike, the last track. Also from former Yugoslavia is this Drugi Nacin with Namom Dlanu.
Sanjena, let наши край. Зора, гаси, звезды, селу, лица, пыши, сяй. Петла,
Nazin was that from former Yugoslavia with Na Mom Dlanu from their debut album. And now let's play some more stuff from the Eastern Bloc. From Poland is this Mark Grechuta and Anawa with the title track from their album Karawat.
Kto pierwszy szedł przed siebie, kto pierwszy cel wyznaczył, kto pierwszy w nas rozpoznał, kto wrogów, kto przyjaciół, kto pierwszy sławę wszelką i głości swe miał za nic, a kto nie umiał zasnąć, nim nie wymyślił granic, kto pierwszy w noc bezsenną wymyślił wielką armię, kto został bohaterem, kto żył i umarł marnie, kto pierwszy został panem, kto pierwszy został sługą, kto musiał wstawać wcześnie, a kto mógł spać za długo, zapatrzeni w tańcu, zapatrzeni w siebie, zapatrzeni w słońcu, zapatrzeni w niebie, wciąż niepewni siebie, siebie nie wiadomo, pytać wciąż będziemy, pytać po kryjomu. Kto pierwszy szedł przed siebie, kto pierwszy cel wyznaczył, kto pierwszy nas rozpoznał, kto wrogów, kto przyjaciół, kto pierwszy słowę wszelką i włości swe miał za nic, a kto nie umiał zacząć, nie wymyślił granic. Kto pierwszy był fakirem, kto pierwszy astrologiem, kto pierwszy został królem, a kto chciał zostać Bogiem, kto z gwiazd rozmiaru Wega, patrząc na ziemię zgadnie, kto pierwszy był człowiekiem, kto będzie nim ostatnim. Zapatrzeni w tańcu, zapatrzeni w siebie, zapatrzeni w słońcu, zapatrzeni w niebie, wciąż niepewni siebie, siebie nie wiadomi, pytać wciąż będziemy, pytać pokryjomy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kto pierwszy szedł przed siebie, kto pierwszy cel wyznaczył, kto pierwszy w nas rozpoznał, kto wrogów, kto przyjaciół, kto pierwszy słowę wszelką i miłości sam miał za nic, a kto nie umiał zasnąć i nie wymyślił granic. Kto pierwszy w noc bezsenną wymyślił wielką armię, kto został bohaterem, kto żył i umarł marnie, kto pierwszy został panem, kto pierwszy został sługą, kto musiał wstawać wcześnie, a kto mógł spać za długo. Zapatrzeni w tańcu, zapatrzeni w siebie, zapatrzeni w słońcu, zapatrzeni w niebie, wciąż niepewni siebie, siebie niewiadomi. Pytać wciąż będziemy, pytać po kryjomu, kto pierwszy szedł przed siebie, kto pierwszy cel wyznaczył, kto pierwszy w nas rozpoznał, kto wrogów, kto przyjaciół, kto pierwszy słowę wszelką i włości stawiał za nic, a kto nie umiał zasnąć i nie wymyślił granic. Kto pierwszy był fakirem, kto pierwszy astrologiem, kto pierwszy został królem, a kto chciał zostać Bogiem, kto z gwiazd do zbioru wegon, patrząc na ziemię zgadnie, kto pierwszy był człowiekiem, kto będzie nim ostatni.
From Poland was that Mark Grechuta with the soundtrack from their album Cordelwood. And now from Holland's Earth and Fire, this is Love Quiver from their debut album.
You are up in my sky, got to know that you are still mine.
Thank you. Welcome to Comment at Polis from the School of Politics and International Studies at the University of Leeds. This is Duncan McCargo. I'm the head of school, and today I'll be talking to Dr. Jonathan Dean, who's an expert on contemporary feminist politics.
Hello.
I suppose a lot of people have the idea that the heyday of feminism was in the 1970s, and what's been done since is just in some way a repetition or a pale shadow of those days of the 1970s. Would that be right?
Well, I think the feminist movement that emerged in the 1970s was very important and had massive impacts socially and politically. But that said, I still think that we have an increasingly important and increasingly influential and increasingly visible feminist movement that is in the ascendancy at the moment. Mm. For example, we've had a number of books that have been published on the subject. We've had, for example, an organisation called UK Feminista, which recently ran a summer school in feminist activism, which was extremely well attended. And we've seen a massive proliferation of local feminist groups across the country. And we've seen also, for example, a number of Reclaim the Night marches, which are campaign against violence against women, emerging again across the country. And also we've seen established organisations like the Fawcett Society. They've had massive increases in terms of their membership. And I think this can all be read as a renewed appetite for feminist activism and for, campaigning against continued forms of gender inequality in our society.
Right, yeah. Does this have any relation to recent developments? Obviously, people are very preoccupied at the moment with the comprehensive spending review, with government cuts. What about the argument that these cuts could adversely affect women perhaps more than other elements of society?
Well, I think that the current proposals by the current government to put forward certain kinds of spending cuts are certainly an added impetus for this revival of feminist politics. I mean, the most obvious example of that is the Fawcett Society, which I mentioned before, has really taken this issue, brought this issue to the forefront, really, by launching a legal challenge against the emergency budget a few months ago on the basis of the fact that the gender equality, gender duty, which was passed by the last government, which requires all public bodies to examine how policies will impact in terms of gender relations. The Fawcett Society have launched a legal challenge claiming that the emergency budget was in breach of this for not taking its gender impacts into account. We currently await to see what the outcome of this legal challenge will be. But that's just one of a broad number of forms of mobilisation around the impact of the budget cuts on women by contemporary feminists in the UK.
Right, you've mentioned the word gender a couple of times,
yes.
And what I suppose I've noticed over the years, there seems to be less talk about feminism or less talk about, for example, women's studies and more about gender studies.
Right.
So for the uninitiated,
right.
What's the difference between, say, feminist theory and gender-informed understandings of society?
It's very difficult to say, really. I mean, the established kind of narrative that one would give about this would be that women's studies was what grew out of the second wave feminism in the 1970s, and that was concerned with really emphasising the specifics of women's experiences and trying to bring those into the academic domain because they'd previously been marginalised. The turn to gender studies, which you point out more recently, I suppose, is broadly reflective of a concern with gender relations more broadly. So talking about, broadly speaking, relations between men and women, masculinity and femininity. And also, gender studies tends to emphasise the extremely diverse nature of relations between men and women and configurations of masculinity and femininity. So there's, within gender studies, there's generally seen to be, the claim is that gender studies enables a greater awareness of diversity and conflictuality than women's studies would have done in the past. That's the general claim, anyway.
But you've recently published a book on feminist theory, so you obviously think there's still mileage in this idea.
Well, I mean, I would say that feminist theory, broadly speaking, is not reducible either to gender studies or women's studies, because, I mean, feminist theory for me is a way of thinking critically about how relations between men and women, and I guess more specifically between masculinities and femininities, have significance socially and politically, but also for me as an academic researcher, also within the academy, in terms of how we think about how we approach the analysis of social and political events as well.
Okay, I guess a lot of people would be saying, well, isn't it a bit unusual for a man to be working in this this area of feminist theory? Is there a particular reason why you got into this? Or have you found people had a curious reaction to you because of your own sort of gender identity?
Well, I mean, in terms of how I got into it, I mean, it was quite a gradual process. But, I mean, I suppose it emerged initially from a kind of disaffection with the sort of typically masculine and feminine behaviours that I was surrounded by when I was an undergraduate student, which I thought, frankly, were quite silly and quite infuriating. And that led me to sort of think critically about these kinds of gender relations that I was exposed to. And that then got me interested in feminist theory as a way of making sense of the social world. And then that, in turn, got me interested in feminist politics. In terms of reactions to me as a man, generally speaking, I have to admit there hasn't been as much of a reaction as I would might have expected there to be, in a sense.
Perhaps you were hoping.
No, I'd say for the most part, it's the source of relief that people don't really regard it as a big issue or difficulty. My concern was always that my research, which deals with making sense of contemporary feminism as a movement for social and political change, would be overshadowed by my status as a man and what the implications of that were. Right. Obviously, it does have implications, but I'm quite relieved that, in many respects, for the most part, readers of my work, both in academia and elsewhere, have tended to engage with specifically what I'm saying rather than getting overly preoccupied with the fact that I'm a man.
Mm. And what are you saying? What's the main argument of the book that you've recently done?
Oh, well, the main...